Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is March 30th, 2007. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work to offer you viable content and solutions, PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now, let me introduce to you Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and I'm so delighted to be back. Hello to everybody out there. I am Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, positive psychologist and happiness coach, and you can find me anytime you want, 24/7, at www.enchantitself.com. And today, I once again have my colleague and associate and wonderful guest, Martha Trowbridge. I'll introduce her more fully in a couple of minutes. Today's show is titled Happiness, the Truth. And we are going to look at, continue to look at several of the wisdom secrets tied into happiness for women only. And indeed, what is the truth? We all want to know the truth. Don't just pull the wool over our eyes, and don't tell us silly things that are going to make us happy, and then they turn out to be trivial nothings. We are smart, and we know when we're happy, and we know when we feel whole, and we know when we don't have a bad pit in our stomach, and we know when we don't have a hole in our hearts. And don't try to convince us that just a little makeup or a little bra that gives you a better tilt or something else very silly is going to make the difference, because it just won't make the difference. And we have to discover what will make the difference. So I am passionate, as Lillian says. I'm passionately involved in understanding women and our natures and how we can be equipped or ill-equipped to deal with life and to deal with our personal sense of well-being and feeling good. I've done research in the field, I've written in the field, and of course I've been in the treatment room for over 25 years listening to my clients, mostly women, but many, many men, and that's another story because they have all their suffering too, but maybe we'll tackle that, Martha. You and I will do a run on happiness for men only at some point. But right now, we're focusing on women. We're focusing how we can return to the wisdom secrets when we need them in order to make happy decisions and live a fruitful, meaningful life. And we have already discussed one wisdom secret, which I'll quickly review, and we're going to try to incorporate the next two in today's show. So let me just briefly tell you who Martha is. And look, you know, we're doing these shows every week, and they're archived and on this wonderful internet radio site, internetvoicesradio.com. They will also be archived within a few weeks on my site, enchantedself.com. And we also are doing transcripts. So for those people who would prefer a transcript, you can write to me at enchantedself.com. So I can't repeat everything every week, but I'm going to try to be clear enough so that you're never in the dark. Meanwhile, Martha. Martha writes Inspiration for Women in Crisis. She's a native New Englander, a graduate of Radcliffe College, and an avid quilter and gardener. the author of The Woman You Were Born to Be and Wings of Self-Love, Inspiration for Shattered Women, which will be released whenever. I'm going to let her tell you the date and more information on herself. Welcome, Martha.
Why, thank you, Barbara. And happy spring to you and yours.
Yes, happy spring to you. And I went outside this morning, and I had the pleasure of listening to a woodpecker.
Oh.
It was so nice.
It just does
something to hear that little bird so hard at work. So last week we were talking about the first wisdom secret, and we were explaining how in order to be happy as women, we must come into a knowledge of all these secrets and be ready to use them again and again. And we were focusing a lot on knowing what is right for us and what our talents and abilities and interests are, which is part of the puzzle of figuring out what is right for us. And we used an example of a woman who was home with three children. I was going to say housebound, but she was not. She was home with three little children and wanted very, very much to get beyond those years of child rearing in terms of her own development. And
excuse me. I was just thinking, again, hearing the vignette, that I think what you're going to talk about applies to women who are in any situation, whether they are employed or not, because what you're talking about is that itchy, that yearning within you for something more.
So, oh, yes.
So this vignette clearly does not apply just to women who are at home with their children.
I think that's such a good point. And I think it's relevant at every stage of life. Probably an astrologer would say every seventh year or whatever, but I would say certainly every 10 years or so that it starts again, because we see the years passing and we want something we haven't been able to touch and hold on to yet.
Right, which coincides with, I'm sure you remember this from graduate school, Eric Erickson's life phases, that every so many years you have different developmental challenges, and that's why we are really biologically programmed to have different needs to satisfy depending upon where we are in our lives, which is
right.
Wonderful.
And I suppose it would be kind of dull if we were always after the same things.
Right.
You know? And that's why this whole notion that I have in The Enchanted Self, which goes through all the wisdom secrets, so let me just share it, and that is learning the tools of reinventing ourselves, not getting caught in the trap of disappointment because something doesn't work again. And here's a real example. A woman, let's say, as a child, absolutely loved to go to the library. It was, without question, her favorite activity. And I've had a lot of bright clients where this is so. And they'd be dropped off by their mothers and go up and down those aisles and smell the books and sit in the big chair, even though they were still only 10 years old and whatever, and read and do their homework and use the bathroom and get a drink of water. In those days, you know, we didn't carry bottled water. There was a little fountain. And then wait for your mother to come for you or your dad. And then they try to do it as an adult, and it's just flat.
You mean they're trying to acquire new knowledge? Is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes they don't know what they liked about it. So that's another whole key. In other words, they love the activity, so now that they're in therapy or they're taking a group experience of The Enchanted Self or whatever, they say, well, this is great, I'll try this again, and it doesn't work. So you're on to something, Martha. It's not working for who knows what reason. It may be that they no longer are particularly interested in reading. It may be because they're much more social as they've developed. You know,
right.
So taking that, and how do you reinvent it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when we were talking last time about knowing what's right for you, the first wisdom secret, and the whole idea of inner knowing, which your listeners, if they have not tuned in before, can find that, I believe, on the March 23rd broadcast. Is that correct? That when you were just mentioning you're trying something that you did when you were younger, but it's just not doing anything for you, I think a key is to look at what makes you feel most alive. What really gives you that rush? What activates the passion in you? And it may take some soul searching, it may take some trial and error, but you will see that there are certain things you're drawn to, things that engage you in a really vital way.
Exactly, and it may be that you still love to read, but you're enjoying the whole world of the World Wide Web, and you know, really you're more social and you want to use the web as a way to foster that energy coming through.
That knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know, listening to you, Barbara, I'm thinking of a variation could be, if you do have social needs, join some kind of reading circle of women, whether it's virtually online or meeting in a physical place. So you can both read and get that wonderful feeling you get, and you can also discuss and make new friends doing that.
That's a wonderful idea, Martha. And I'm also thinking how sensitive as women we are to smells and just the style of the way something is set up. And maybe what you really loved in the library was the sort of musty odor that said, you know, welcome, you can come in here, it's like a security blanket, and you like the big chair because you felt very grown up. And really the lesson is how you can reinvent yourself within your apartment or your house to have a more excited feeling.
A feeling that's satisfying whatever comforts you're looking for.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. It's like looking at a kaleidoscope. It's not one-dimensional for women. And that's what makes it so interesting. And I thought that in order to get to the second and the third secrets, wisdom secrets, instead of pursuing that particular vignette again, I would read you part of one from my paper, The Seven Gateways to Enchantment, sometimes called The Seven Gateways to Happiness, depending on how I type it up, which you can get for free by going to www.enchantedself.com. You'll see there's a space to get it. Anyway, I'll read a little bit of this vignette about Deborah.
Excuse me, could
yes.
you just share with your listeners what the second wisdom secret is so
all
they can
right.
follow along?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was going to make it a little more dramatic somehow, but now let's just go right. Let me share the second and third and then read the vignette, okay?
Yes.
The second wisdom secret is gaining an inner sense of self-worth. We do talk about this as self-esteem, but it's really at a much deeper organic level. And Martha and I will talk more about that. And the third wisdom secret is learning how to meet our needs, or bluntly put, doing what we have to do. And that is... could mean education, it could mean negotiating skills, it could mean cleaning up a house that's filled with clutter, who knows. Martha, you want to respond for a second? I'm going to look for my cough drop.
Oh, sure. Well, I am picking up on your mentioning a moment ago that self-worth is a lot more than self-esteem. And I was thinking how that self-worth embraces ideas of value, of treasure, and of protection. And self-esteem, as Barbara said, really is just a tiny part of that, but of course an integral part of feeling self-worth.
That's right. Okay, I think I'm safe.
Okay.
All right, let me read you a little bit of the vignette. Deborah had been hiding those bookshelves under her side of the bed for so long, she couldn't remember how many years they had been there. Why were they under the bed?
Is she married?
Yes, you'll see that.
Is
very
she hiding
soon.
The book?
You'll see. Because when she brought them home, pretty and ornate with fancy wrought iron underpinnings, Her husband had belittled the purchase and belittled her.
Oh,
those were
dear.
Stupid purchases, he had said.
Oh.
They're too ornate. They're flimsy. They'll fall off the wall. You don't even know how to put them up. And don't think I'll help you.
How did he feel about books, Barbara? This lovely husband of hers.
Well, I don't think he felt good enough about them, or her, or the woman, either.
So he may have been picking on the bookshelf because of what they represented.
Perhaps, yes. And that's often the case, where
mm-hmm.
we have hidden, displaced rage,
mm-hmm.
which is something women... We do it, too. We cannot fault men on this one.
I will.
We get into these very strange, peculiar moods, and the husband will say, or the boyfriend 20, 30 times, well, what did I do, or what did I say? And, you know, you just look further off into the distance, like you're able to see Mars out your window, you know. It's not really the best trait in either sex.
No.
Okay, so
you were
finishing...
He belittled the bookshelf.
Yes. Finishing his tirade, he had turned around and stormed out of the room because what else does, you know, someone do after they finish this brilliant tirade? Deborah felt devastated. Not only had she believed they were perfect for the family room, but they had reminded her of some lovely built-in mahogany shelving that her grandmother used to have. But that was then, and this was now. It obviously didn't fit into now. Her husband had just told her so, okay? And we know, as we try to develop, how many times somebody has just told us something that now is supposed to become so and
real. And it crushed us. It absolutely crushed us.
Yep.
Barbara, what was she planning, do you know, what was she planning to put on those shelves? Did she have specific intents?
I think her intent was beautiful things and photographs or things reminiscent. She was obviously picking up on something out of her own past.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it in that they already reminded her of something from her grandmother.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
And soothing. This is something soothing.
And when we talk about getting an organic appreciation of ourselves, much deeper than just what we call self-esteem, a lot of it is tied into our memories, having treasured certain people the way they talked to us and held us and the things they had and, you know, the times we were told we looked so cute and, you know, even with a rotten haircut, somebody still loves us and puts our picture right up on the mantle, you know.
Well, as you often eloquently say, positive states of being in which are encoded our enchanted self from the very beginning.
That's right. And without an enchanted self from the very beginning, we'd be totally a depressed child who doesn't thrive.
Exactly.
So it's a very core concept. And you'll see, all of you listening, you know, if you've had even a puppy, you don't even have to have had a kid. You see how developmentally when, you know, animals or people get certain things under their belt and they're excited about them and they
pride.
Think
they're...
Yeah,
pride.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're the first ones, you know, maybe in the whole world that ever jumped rope five times without falling, you know, whatever it is. So it's a very universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go on with Deborah. We want to at least finish her today.
Okay.
Back in therapy, Deborah confronted once again some of the pains and inertia she had been living with, as well as the pain that was a result of the negative interactions that had continued between her husband and herself for many years. She was determined to move ahead of them emotionally and to finally gain some resiliency. While she wasn't ready to leave her husband, she was ready to put up the shelves. And this is an important point because sometimes people think that once we start opening Pandora's box, you know, you're going to have to leave whoever you're with that's just finished. And sometimes that is the best solution. But sometimes you really are face to face with certain issues, and you don't know if you're going to have to leave the person till you work on those issues anyway.
The act of putting up those shelves is a declaration of her progress through therapy, and it's also a test. It's a test of exactly what is going to happen when he comes home and sees those shelves up on the wall.
Oh, yes.
And maybe it will be nothing, and maybe it won't. But she seems more prepared to deal with it now than she was when he first got a glimpse of them.
That's right. Much to her satisfaction. Oh, let me tell you what she did. One day, she took them out, from under her bed, brought them into the hardware store, and obtained the appropriate advice and necessary hardware. The very advice that her husband refused to give her, you know, like there's another person alive on the planet that might be able to give the right advice.
This is really an act of defiance, too.
Yes.
In a good way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Enough. Enough stuff rolls on in family life that is unpleasant and unnecessary.
Amen.
Much to her satisfaction, when she put the shelves where she had wanted to so many years ago, not only were they securely placed, but they really pulled the family room together. The finishing touch to the room was putting things on the shelves that actually had come from her grandmother's beautiful apartment.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes. The last item, a photograph of her grandmother as a young girl, made the shelves fully come to life. She waited in slight trepidation for her husband to remark about her enterprise. She said nothing, and interestingly enough, he said nothing. For many weeks,
really?
Seemingly not even to notice them.
Uh-oh.
He finally did comment on them, saying, "Oh, those look nice." And here we have the total end of the story.
What a great story.
So while it wasn't a perfect marriage, and the shelves had slept much too long under the bed, Deborah was much happier than she had now that she had finally begun to meet her needs.
And again, it was a really huge test of the strength of their relationship in that she defied something he was so ridiculously overreactive to, and the worst possible fear that he would storm off and leave her or, God forbid, be violent to her never came to pass.
That's right. I think she really was afraid of, who knows, even when a man is violent, if he gets angry enough and the door shakes as he,
emotional violence is violence, Barbara.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
screaming,
right.
The tantrum, I mean, that is violence. It's totally unacceptable.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this was an amazing step for her, and we see within it really all three of the wisdom secrets, and as you said, they're there at every stage of our lives, and this gal was a good 10 to 15 years older than the first gal who became the real estate
tycoon.
I was looking for the right word. Made herself a millionaire eventually.
So Deborah's pain and inertia, which she had been struggling with for perhaps a decade, how did that resolve after this momentous victory of hers?
Well, it just kept getting better.
Right.
She faced many challenges with her husband and became stronger, but also realistic and not totally without caring for him, explaining something if necessary. And their marriage was a marriage that deserved to be saved because he began to soften.
Hey.
Now, this is an interesting point that even goes beyond the three wisdom secrets, and that is another level of wisdom secret that I don't think most women realize, and that is whether it's at their jobs or dealing with their children or a husband or a boyfriend or a partner, once you have under your belt your own emotional and cognitive equipment better, people usually come part way toward you. Maybe you've put in 100% and they put in 40%, but there is positive movement. Now, when there isn't, that's something worth finding out too, because though that's often the real bell of doom, that, you know, the other person is not equipped to perceive you in a better light.
And to do his work.
Right. And I'm sure that
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go right ahead and talk a little bit.
The way you're doing your work to try to improve the relationship, it really is incumbent upon your partner to make some effort, or else it is a sense of doom.
Right. And I think with your work on women who have been battered or abused, wouldn't you say that often it's realizing that the person cannot move his percentage forward that is really a very critical moment?
It is. It's complicated, and
yes.
So much is interwoven in that, you know, the whole, well, we won't have to digress here,
right,
because we only have a few moments, but that realization is pivotal to a woman's beginning to have a sense of what she needs to do to protect herself.
Right, and it may be years from that point, but that has to be seen,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes it has to be seen, unfortunately, many times. So what we've gone over today is the beginning of teaching you the truth around happiness for women only, and that indeed it is part of the wisdom secrets that you must learn and must have the courage to understand. And we're right now, last week and continuing this week, talking about the three wisdom secrets. One is realizing what you like and what you like about yourself and your talents and your potential. And then the second is gaining a real sense of who you are, a self-love that is not narcissistic but is deep, so you can get courage. And as you said, Martha, you can get that energy stream starting to pour forth from you. And the third wisdom secret is the realization that nothing comes without a ticket for the bus. You know, we have to do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. We do, and I think your vignette with Deborah and the bookshelf really beautifully illustrates all three secrets. She figured out what she needed to. She figured out what made her feel authentic. She figured out that this would give her a really good inner sense of self-worth, and she took the step to do what she needed to do. So it really is a lovely example.
Yes, I agree, Martha. And we're going to conclude for today. So I hope that everyone will stay with us. We're going to do more teaching around the enchanted self and the gateways to happiness and the wisdom secrets attached, and come back again and again to the truth. I was hoping to read an excerpt from my new book, The Truth, My Secret Diary, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. But I think we'll leave that. I know, Martha, you can't be with me on Good Friday, but hopefully we'll come back in 2 weeks and be able to continue some of this conversation. And meanwhile, come and visit us. So now, Martha, you tell people how to reach you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me again, Barbara. I do look forward to joining you in 2 weeks' time. I'm Martha Trowbridge. I write Inspiration for Women in Crisis. My website is www.marthatrowbridge, all one word, TROWBRIDGE.org. And would love you to come visit. There are different contact emails if any of you would like to write me a note. That would be wonderful.
Thank you so much, Martha.
Thank you.
You can come and visit me at enchantedself.com, sign up for my daily blessings, my newsletter, the free paper that I read from today, and see my books and products. and just be part of the Enchanted Self world, because as Martha said, if we're not part of the Enchanted Self world and we don't feel that enchantment of being alive and having our energy flow, we're not in good shape. And we all want to be in good shape, because this is happiness for women only. Goodbye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, PIVTR. Whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. If you would like to hear Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein's program, Happiness for Women Only, all over again, please go to the website, and in about an hour, the program will be posted on her website. If you would like a transcript of this program, you can go to the Daily Information page at http://internetvoicesradio.com, contact Deb Harris, and order a transcript of the program you have just heard. If you would like to join in on the conversation with Dr. Holstein, the number to call is 641-297-7201, access code 387-587, pound key. If you ever have a burning question for Dr. Holstein, the toll-free number is 888-379-5442. Coming up for the rest of the day, 3:30 to 4, Monica Coleman, Let's Talk Waterways. And then 8 to 8:30 this evening, Author Be Known, interviews Robert Walker, mystery author. If the interview begins from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Also, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Rowena Cherry and her friends are presenting a two-hour special on April Fool's Day. Then, April 22nd, Lillian and David Bromet from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, conservationists and environmentalists from Canada and other environmentalists and conservationists will join them and present an Earth Day presentation to you. So please join us. We would love to have you. And also, come back to the website often. Postings change. Things are archived up to a month, and you never know what's going to happen next. So you have to come back and visit us often. And remember, keep listening. Thank you, and have a good day.